Hi and welcome to part 2 of PowerShell DSC for developers. My name is Max Knorr. I'm a senior technical evangelist in the global ISV team at Microsoft Corp. Today we're going to talk about configuration data using external variables in your DSC configurations. Nested configurations, building multiple configurations that reference each other, and deploying resources onto the service. Here's an example of a configuration data dictionary. As you can see, that is almost like JSON syntax again. So for those who've never seen PowerShell DSC, for the C# developers amongst you, that looks like object initializers, you could say. This is plain PowerShell syntax for defining objects. All nodes is defined as an array, and then within there is three sub-objects that have properties defined. Now all nodes is the magic word, the magic keyword for storing all the different computer nodes that we want to manage. As you can see, there's actually just two nodes that we want to manage. Each of them needs to be uniquely identified through the node name. That's how PowerShell DSC later on will know which configuration to apply. As you can see, we have two node names in this example. We've got Max Web Server and Max DB. And then besides the node name, we can add additional data as much as we can. In that case, I've added a role attribute. The role could be some metadata information that we later on use, or there is a port information here. IIS is an object itself that has then a sub-property port. Now this can either be, this configuration data can either be inline before our configuration, or it can be in a separate file. Here is the PowerShell DSC configuration again. And as you can see, now we can differentiate. In one file, we can put in all the configurations for multi-tiers, for multiple nodes. And then with the node keyword, we can filter which part shall be applied to which node. And as you see, node $allNodes, where is the filtering? And we're saying filter for all the nodes where the role equals web server. Use the node name and then apply whatever. In the same, another configuration for all the nodes where the role is DB. And we can not only filter on role, basically we can filter on any property that we would like. Now if we want to use that configuration data, that external configuration data that we just defined on the previous slide, then we need to pass it in with the parameter configuration data at stage 2, where the MOF files are generated. Because honestly, the whole configuration data concept is only at stage 1 and 2. If you remember part 1 of our series, part 2 is where the MOF files are generated, and the MOF files, they don't know any configuration data, they don't know any variables, any placeholders. So what's happening is between stage 1 and 2, when the MOF files are generated, and that's what's happening with the multi-tier minus configuration data statement, the configuration data is merged, so the variables are substituted, and at the end the MOF files just contain fixed values, no variables. That sounds a bit complex, doesn't it? Let's break out into a little demo, because it's really not complicated at all. As you see, here is a configuration for a website, like the configuration we've used in part 1. However, I've already added just one node. As you see here, we're filtering for a role of web. And then everything inside here applies to the node web. We can essentially close these and then go through them one by one. As you see at the end, we pass in this external file, and this is, if you've seen part one, this is stage two, where it generates the MOV files. Stage three is right now missing here. So in the DSC file here, we first of all again install the Windows feature IIS. You've seen that already in part one. We configure also ASP.NET 4.5, which is again just another Windows feature. And then there is some fun stuff, as you can see here. We're using an external resource called website, and that resource has different parameters. And once IIS is installed, it should start. X website is a resource that configures IIS. And we're saying we would like to make sure that the default website in IIS is stopped. And the physical path of the default website is defined in a parameter. Now, all the variables, all the parameters we can get from $node. $node means current node, and then this value from the current node. So that's step one. Step two then is we use another external resource called remote file that downloads a file from a URI. Which URI it is, that's externally, again, in the node configuration. And then where to put it is the local temp directory. So this is a zip file that we download with the website in it. Then we're using the built-in archive component, and we're taking the zip file and unzipping it to a location that again is specified in the external configuration. So as you see, we just, instead of string values, can put $node.propertyName into it. $node is just an object that we can use, because all variables in PowerShell are prefixed with dollar as opposed to C#. Here is the third one. Again, we configure a website, but this time it's not the default website. This time it's a new website that we want to create. The name is configurable. The website should be started. Where it sits is configurable. Again, that's the same path that we're using for the unzipping here. And then there is a binding info. That's the port where the website is running on. That's also configurable. Let's save that and quickly go over to the website.config.psd1 file. The name can be customized as long as it ends with psd1. And here's our all nodes dictionary, our list of nodes. You see there is this section for all the nodes, for asterisk, but there's no common settings right now here in place. And then you see here's for the node name localhost. It should have the role web. So when we go back to our configuration, scroll up there, this whole setting is gonna be applied to the localhost because it has the role web. Then we have a website name right now. Let's change that to channel 9 coffee. Okay. We have a source URI. That's just a plain Azure Blob Storage URI where a website is zipped up as a package. There is the destination path, C9 coffee. Okay, and that's the default website path. To be fair, that's always gonna be the same. So normally maybe you would not put that into a variable. And then last but not least, there's the port that is also defined here. So now we can go into PowerShell and just start website 1 ps1. As you see, a localhost MOV file is generated. We can open it up. if we go to localhost moth, and here is the moth version of the DSC, the stage 2 moth. As you see, there is no variables in here. Like here is the URI where the download comes from. It's merged. It's not a variable in the moth file anymore. So all the variables are merged between stage 1 and 2. So the configuration has been generated. Last step would be to apply it. You remember stage 3, we call website and we say we want to wait for it and do it in a verbose way. And just to prove right now, there is nothing running on port 1234. Localhost 1234. If we do that, we see it times out. So really localhost is empty right now. The zip is already downloaded. It's been unwrapped into the local directory. And we can already go back to our browser and take a look. Localhost 1234. This time we see that beautiful coffee shop website here. And every time again, when we rerun the script, it's checking what the state is and making sure that it stays in that desired state that we just defined. Let's say we have a WordPress configuration that consists of two resources, and then we have two other configurations. One is called remote files that does some downloading, and the other called XPHP provision. And you can spot what that one does. And now the idea is we can just take them and use them as configuration steps in another configuration, in this case within the WordPress configuration. Let's quickly take a look how that works. This is our website configuration from before. And as you can see at the end, I've now added a new configuration called overall. And what we do here is, besides the website configuration, which just shows up as just another resource, we're also configuring a user again. Now there is a dependency here in again. So first the user should be created, afterwards the website should be created. If we now go back into PowerShell and create the whole thing, we add the force parameter, then you see that first of all the user is created, and afterwards all the rest of the website creation is done. So it's really a composition of configurations. While this is super cool, there is a little bug in PowerShell DSC right now, and that's concerning dependencies. If you want to reverse dependencies and say that this one is depending on the nested composition configuration, on the one that is inline above, then this will not work if you're using WMF, Windows Management Framework 4.0. I have installed WMF 5 here on my machine, which is currently, as we speak, in preview. So for me, it does work, but if you're trying to do the same on WMF 4.0, you'll run into a exception that you cannot put a dependency on it. One interesting question is, how do you actually get custom resources onto a machine? And custom resources are the ones that are called X something or C something, the ones that start with a prefix. And there is actually two options. One is to just copy them over, download them from the TechNet gallery and copy them over. with WMF 5.0, with the new version of PowerShell, there's actually a new option available that we as developers know very well. That is NuGet. NuGet packages. Just in PowerShell, it's called OneGet because it can be more than just NuGet. And now you can use install package statement upfront to download these external packages before you execute the script. Going back, you might have realized that here we are importing these two resources here. So we are importing the external module XWeb administration and XPS desired state configuration. And as we said before, they are under program files, Windows PowerShell modules. Those two folders with the whole resources have to be present so that the script executes. Now, the two options as discussed is just copy these folders over, but that's quite painful because we're actually in automation here, so we wouldn't want to do this manually. So with WMF 5.0, you can now say install package name and just give the name of X web administration. It's also quite wise to add the force parameter here, because with the force it will make sure that any messages are ignored if something is already on the machine or stuff like that. That was our little demo of OneGet, also called install minus package. With that, we've reached the end of part 2 of PowerShell DSC for developers. We discussed external configuration data, nested configurations, and deploying resources to the machines where you want to run the desired state configuration. As always, feel free to download the demo scripts from my blog, and you can get all the DSC resources that started with an X from the DSC resource kit in the TechNet gallery. If you enjoyed the show, there's other parts to come. Watch out for part 3 of PowerShell DSC for developers. Thanks a lot for watching and have fun with DSC.